All right, for any of you that may have missed so far, yesterday morning we looked at the very opening part of 1 Corinthians 3, and Paul is talking to this group of people, a church that he founded and he formed, and he went away, and he realized that after about 6 years, they haven't grown the way they're supposed to. They're still dealing with spiritual immaturity, and he's trying to get them away from this world, and he's trying to tell them that they need to be different. You have higher expectations of you. You're more than those of the world. You've got a calling, and you're supposed to go out, and you need to grow before you can gain there. And he realizes, we talked about in the evening, that they've been bickering, and they've been fighting, and they've been having these difficulties, and so he's trying to straighten out their little problem. And that's the difference between which one is more important, Paul or Apollos. And that's just one of the issues that they're dealing with, and so he tries to straighten it out, and he straightens it out by saying, both of these guys are servants. They're the same as you. We are all just servants that are called to go out and do the work that was assigned to you. You're supposed to go out and you're supposed to please the Master. And right there at the end, the last verse in what we read through yesterday, which was verse 9, says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building." And so he kind of takes a transition here. He just got done talking about kind of some gardening. And he kind of, just like Jesus, he kind of went through and he kind of knew the people and he knew some of the things that were going on, and he illustrated in ways that they could understand. And so with some of the people, maybe they understood gardening. And so he said, "I planted a seed, Apollos watered it," and he put it in a way that people could understand it. And so then he goes on from there and he actually goes into some building, some construction terms. And that's where we're going to pick up today. So we're talking about us as individuals. We are supposed to be God's building. Okay, so we're going to pick up in verse 10. And we're going to read through verse 15 today. "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building upon it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." There is one foundation. That is Jesus Christ. "If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring light to it. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." So I was reading through this passage. And I was looking at this information, and I'm looking at the things, and the thing that stuck out to me as he's talking about these building equipment, or this building items that are being used to build, and he talks about gold and silver and costly stones, and you assume there's six items that are mentioned here, and you assume that those are the ones that are better, right? These are the ones that you probably should build with. And then he goes ahead and he names off wood, hay, and straw. And so I'm looking at these building materials that are being used, and the first thing that came to my mind, who said it? Someone said it. The three little pigs. That's where we're going. That's the first thing that came to my mind, is we're looking at these this foundation. And so each person is already supposed to be given a foundation in Jesus Christ. And then we see these different materials, these different ways about going things. And we see the different ways they're supposed to be going on. And so I looked at the story of the three little pigs, and you'd be amazed at some of these little children's stories that pack a good punch. There's a little bit more truth. I was talking with somebody about it, and they said they were surprised that maybe the writers of these children's stories maybe had a little more in mind than just a children's story. Maybe there was some deep truths that they put into it. But I was reading, and I found like an extended version of the Three Little Pigs. But it starts off, and the opening sentence is, "Once upon a time there were three little pigs whose mother said to them, 'It is time for you to go out into the big world to build your homes and seek your fortunes. And so this morning, I look in this passage and I see about the same thing. Paul is challenging these folks to go out to build your home. Go out. You are God's building. How are you going to build your home? Paul gives these people a message and he tells you that we need to build our life. We need to be God's building. Look over in, like I said before, we are going to stay in 1 Corinthians 3, but go ahead and move in your Bible over to Matthew 7. Because this is the next thing that I thought of as I'm looking through these building materials. What's the little kid song, "The wise man built his house upon the..." Okay, if I ask a question, it's not rhetorical. It's okay. You can say it. Do you guys not sing that one? "The wise man built his house upon the..." Okay, four or five people got it. Do we need to sing it? Does everybody unfamiliar? Okay, Matthew 7. And in verse 24 is the passage where that song comes from. "That everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock." In this story, in this song, there are two people. There's a wise man and there's a foolish man. There's one that built his house correctly and there's one that didn't. And the one that did it correctly, when the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, it did not fall because it had a foundation upon the rock, because it was built correctly. But the one who built foolishly, the one who used the foolish materials, when the storms came and the floods rose and the winds blew, their house blew away. And so in this passage in 1 Corinthians here, you see the exact same thing. We're going to get our homes, our house, our life, which is what this illustration is. We are God's building. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. From Jesus Christ, we then build our lives. And what materials, what ways are we going about building our lives? And when our lives are tested, when we stand before Christ, when the dead in Christ rise, and we stand before the King, we meet Him together, and He tests our work. Is our house going to stand? Or is our house going to fall? And so how are you building your life is what we're going for. But I want to go back to the three little pigs. They were each handed a mission. The mother looked at each one of the pigs and he told them to go out into the world. And you realize that each pig took a different path. They packed up their bags, they said goodbye, and they each went a different way. Well, the first little pig decided that he did not like hard work. So he quickly built his house out of straw. He built it on the soft sand and finished that same day. So that night he was laying in his hammock, satisfied with himself for finishing so quickly, looking forward to a lazy life of leisure. So in the midst of this story, he's talking about I know for sure we got a couple builders in here who are familiar with building homes. On a good day, could you build a home in one day? Yeah, I struggle with some of those tents to put them up in one day. Any home that was built in one day is probably not a permanent home that you want to get tested on in a storm. But here, this first little pig, he thought to himself, maybe if I do it fast, I do it quick, I do it easy, I build on the sand so I don't got to try to connect it, it'll go together, it'll be super easy, and I can get on with my life. I can focus on what I want to focus on, I can do what I want to do. And I think that's like the Christian who's not concerned about putting any effort into building his life. He's not concerned about what he's doing in his spiritual walk. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, it says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving in the Lord." Never be lacking in zeal. Doesn't sound like that first pig. Doesn't sound like that individual that's looking for a quick fix. Doesn't sound like that person that's supposed to be going through the way it's supposed to. But in the spiritual world, when Paul is challenging these folks to go out and be God's building, challenge them to build their house in a way that can stand, he's asking them that you're going to add some zeal, you're going to add some fervor, some effort, you're going to have to work a little bit. And here this first pig is thinking to himself, I can do whatever it is just to get by. Just enough to get by so I can go on. And I notice that there's a lot of people that do that in the Christian world. What is just enough for me to get by? I think the reason Christ didn't give us a time when He's coming back, other than the fact that only the Father knew, but the reason God didn't reveal that fact is because there's going to be a lot of people like me that are the biggest procrastinators ever, that if I was given a deadline, I would wait till the last possible second to do what needs to get done. In school, that's the way it worked. I remember my very first Dr. Martin, Dr. Joe, Brother Joe, however you know him, the very first paper. We had a 5-page paper the first week of class, and it was about any Old Testament figure, and we had to write about it. And I remember that we were given a full week to write this paper. At midnight. Midnight. 8 hours before the paper was due, me and my roommate looked at each other and said, "Oh boy. Turn the coffee pot on. It's going to be a long night." Wait until, the very last second. And here, that's something that we're looking to avoid. If we get that opportunity to procrastinate and push off and do as little as possible. But what Paul is saying, and what the illustration of the little pigs, is that this pig has a problem. You wait too long. You don't build properly. You're going to run into trouble. It was funny. I was reading an illustration about a man. He said, a fellow complained to his pastor one time saying, "Whenever I come to church, we sing the same hymns every time." He goes on, he said, "The same two. Oh, little town of Bethlehem and Silent Night." Sounds like a legitimate complaint, right? You know where I'm going with this, right? Yeah, he missed Easter. When you only come to church on Christmas, of course, those are going to be the only songs you sing. And there's some people that are like that. What's the bare minimum I can do to get by in life? What's the fewest amount of church services I can make it to? What's the smallest amount that I can give? What is the smallest amount of work that I can do that's going to be just enough so that I can get on with my own business and I can do my own thing? What's the minimum? And then I want to do that. And that's a problem. If we're not putting 100%, if we're not putting that zeal, that effort, that fervor into our relationship with God, if we're not digging down and doing the things that are supposed to be done right, what happens to that first pig's house? It blew away. What happened to the foolish builder in the biblical story? When the rains came down and the winds blew, that house fell apart. But there wasn't just one pig in the story, there was a second one. And this story says, the second little pig took one look at the palm shack of the first little pig and decided that he was going to build his house better than his brother's. He was going to build his house out of sticks. My stick house will look tons better than that palm branch shack. We notice that in this story, in this bit of the thing, the second pig, he knows a little better. He decides that he wants to build his house a little bit better, but really, he's more concerned about how it looks than the actual sturdiness of it. He recognizes and knows that he needs to do a little bit more. So he goes out and he builds his house with sticks in the middle of a lovely valley. It doesn't take him that much longer than the first pig, He puts a little bit more work and a little bit more effort and a little bit more time. But his goal is just to make his house look good. So other people will come by and say, "Wow, your house looks nice. It may still blow away if there's a storm, but it looks nice." In the story that I read, it illustrates that the second pig, he recognizes and realizes that if a storm comes, it's not going to stand. But a comment that he makes is, "Well, we probably won't see a storm for another 10 years. So I'll worry about that when the storm comes. I'll do a little bit enough to make sure people think I put more work into it than I did." So he knows right from wrong. And he continues and chooses to do wrong instead of do right. And this is where I see most people in church. They come into church, they put a big smile on their face, and they just pretend life's okay. Things are doing great. Things are going good. They put on that church mask. Let's everybody else think that their life's in order. But they're not ready for a storm. Their life is not ready for a storm. If a storm comes, their house is going to fall apart. Something comes along, they're in trouble. And so, in reality, they're interested and they're concerned. They know what's right. But they choose to continue doing wrong. They have the same problem the first one does. They're on the wrong foundation. They're missing out on what they've been called to do. The materials of their life are wrong. And one of the first things I notice about these people is it's easy for them to be swayed. They'll struggle with their spiritual responsibility. They won't dig into their Bible enough. And they'll believe things that aren't necessarily true. They'll go along with it. And you see the examples in Acts 17 of the Bereans. Don't just listen to what I've got to say. Take what I have to say and you go home. Do your Bible reading at home and dig into the truth. The Bereans said, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and exclaimed the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." These people were in there and they were digging for truths. They were looking and they were finding, they were seeing what was right. I often wonder, what if they wrote a newer New Testament? And we were in the New Testament. What would they say about the church in South Carolina? Would they say Guthrie Grove is of more noble character than those of Berea? Go through the list. What would they say about you? What would they say about me? What would they say about my church, our church? What would he say about the current church that is in this world? I don't know. I've only been here 2 days. You guys know. How are you building your life? How are you handling what God has given you? But what I also see in this pig is in James 4:17. It says, "Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins." So it's not just, that's one thing I see in a lot of people. They like to talk about the things that they don't do. "Oh, well, I quit drinking. I don't smoke. I don't swear. I go to church. I don't do this. I don't do that. So therefore, I'm a good person." Well, sometimes not doing things isn't enough. What about the things that you're supposed to be doing that you're not? If you know good, you know what you're supposed to be doing, and you continue to do wrong, it's the same thing as doing something wrong. The second little pig was like that. He knew what he was supposed to do, and he chose not to. He should have made a sounder house, but he thought to himself that nothing's going to happen for a while. He was secure in what he had. 1 Corinthians 10:12 warns us of when we think we're secure, but we're not doing all that we're supposed to be doing. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful so that you don't fall. We've got responsibilities. We're God's church. We're God's building. We've been given things that we're supposed to be doing, and it's our responsibility to go out and do it. Jesus died for us so that we could go build a strong, lasting faith, sharing the truths that we hold true, sharing what we know to be right. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 reads, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." The second pig needs to stop worrying about what other people think. Stop pretending that they've got life figured out and actually start dealing with the issues that they have in their life. Stop pretending is not easy, is it? It's hard to have to actually address real issues, deal with real things. But oftentimes we just keep on going on pretending. The second little pig needs to stop fiddling around and get into what God wants for him. But fortunately enough, we see the third pig. We see the first pig and the second pig, both of their houses blew down. But the third pig was different. He decided to build his house out of cement blocks on a solid foundation. It took him a little longer. The work was difficult and tedious. But the third little pig was looking forward to the peace and comfort of a strong, sound home. See, to the third pig, it was worth it for him to do a little work to know that his future was sound. To know that his future is safe. He built a strong home. Used the right materials. And we know what happened when things came around and the wind blew. His house stood. He was wise. And that's what we need. Paul challenges us to go out and to work. Work our lives in the direction that we're supposed to go. To build with the materials that are going to stand. So that when we do stand before the fire, will our work stand or will it fall? 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore prepare your minds for action." I like that. Before you even start going out, you need to make your mind up. Are you going to be ready to do the work when it's time? Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given. To be given to you when Christ Jesus is revealed. Are you ready to work? Are you ready with fervor to go out with diligence and do what you're supposed to be doing, to build upon the one true foundation, to build upon Jesus Christ, and to use materials that are going to stand? 2 Timothy 2 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Any of you ever built something? Anything, just built something. Really? Paper airplane? I see a couple hands. Anytime you build something, how many of you have had any kind of job, done anything? If not as many people have built something, I need another example, so I'm going on the fly. Okay, we'll scrap that. I remember when I was a kid, and I lived across the street from an elderly lady, and she no longer could mow her lawn. And so one day I was outside in the yard, and I think I was actually mowing my own yard, and of course I wasn't getting paid for it. But this lady said, would you consider coming over to my house and mowing my yard? Well, what she saw was is that in my yard, I did a very, very good job. Because what happened was, if I didn't do a good job, my dad was going to come over, whoop my tail end, and then I'd go mow it again until it's right. Well, she offered to pay me $5 to go over and mow her lawn. And so I'm thinking to myself, this is great. Sure. And I remember I did it the first time and I did it really good. But I realized that she wasn't checking. And so the next time I was thinking to myself, I would really like to go out with my friends. And so I actually went to her house and knocked on her door and said, you know, your grass is getting a little long. I was wondering if I could cut your grass. Well, I took the assumption that she wasn't going to check her yard. And I mowed that lawn about as fast as that mower could be pushed. I cut corners, left edges. It looked horrible. I got home, got all ready to go to my friend's house. I don't remember her name, but she was knocking on the front door saying, what happened? You did so good the first time. You didn't build like you were supposed to. You didn't cut the grass the way that you're supposed to. I bet you can figure that my dad didn't let me go out to my friend's house that day. My dad made me give back the $5 and go cut her lawn again. Our work's going to be tested. When you work and you don't think someone else is checking, you'll rush through it. You'll get complacent. You'll take the reward and you'll put in as little effort as possible. We may be able to hide our efforts for a little while. We may be able to pretend that we're doing a good job. But the truth of the matter is that we can't hide our work from God. He's given each one of us a job. He's given each one of us a foundation. He's already laid the foundation for you. He allowed His Son, Jesus Christ, to come into this world, to be raised up a man. The ability to do right and the ability to do wrong, He made the choice to do right. He lived a perfect life and then was faced with the penalty of death, one that He did not deserve, and He took it for you. He took it for me. Our shortcomings, He took with Him to that cross. He died on that cross for me. He died on that cross for you. That death was the foundation in which we build. Him being raised up is the foundation on which we build. He went to the Father, and He's coming back again. Your building is going to have to stand before Christ. Don't be like me and that lady, as I had to look at her in the eye and say, I'm sorry. I was foolish. I was in a hurry, and I had my own agenda, my own plan, the things that I wanted to do, and I put them in front of doing the job correctly. I don't want to stand before Christ and have to say that same thing. Christ, You gave me a job. You gave me a foundation. You gave me Your life. And I was too busy with my agenda. I was too busy doing the things that I want to do. And so you see, there's three pigs here that represent three different areas of life. The first pig was so concerned about his own life that he didn't even care about anything. He didn't care about the foundation. He didn't care if a storm came. He went out and he lived his life in this world as quick and as easy and as fun as it could be. The second one gave a little effort, but both of them fell short. When the storm came and their work was tested, it didn't work out. Then there was the third one that did what was supposed to be done. So, I don't know where you're at in your walk with Christ. Like I said, most of you, I'm sorry, I probably don't remember your name. But, you've got a choice. What kind of life are you living? What kind of building are you doing? So maybe the first question is, have you accepted the foundation in which you're supposed to build on? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, as your example in this life, to follow what He lived, to teach what He taught, to love like He loved? Have you done that? If not, that's a decision you have to make. Okay, maybe you've done that. Maybe you've accepted the foundation. But maybe you're just not building with the right materials. Maybe you're going through with life and you're trying to just fake it. Make it seem like you're doing well when you're really not. Now's the time to turn it around. That last hymn we sung had it perfect. He's coming back. We're going to have to answer. We're going to have to answer to our work. He may be coming today, tomorrow. He may be coming in the morning, tonight. Scripture says He's coming soon. Are you ready for your work to be tested? Brother Mike asked if I'd offer an opportunity for someone that may not have laid their foundation on Christ yet to come forward and talk with the pastors. So I'm going to ask the pastors to come forward if they're in here. There's one. I saw Jim walk out a second ago. We're going to do the last song, right? You guys can come on up and get ready. As the last song comes up, I don't know where you're at in your life. If you've accepted Christ and you're still struggling, come forward. We'll pray with you. If you haven't accepted Christ, come forward. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's get you on the right path. Let's get you going where you need to be. And if you're uncertain, come forward. Because answering to Christ with "I tried, but I fell short" isn't going to work. We can't cut corners. We've been called to be God's building. He already laid the foundation. Your life needs to stand before Him when He comes back. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for what You've done. Thank You for working within each one of us. Thank You for blessing us beyond what we deserve. Thank You for allowing Your Son to go to a cross and die for me, even though I didn't deserve it. I fall short, Lord. Work in me. Help me. Help us come to You. Open our hearts. Open our minds to Your will for our lives. You've laid a foundation, Lord. And You've challenged us all to be builders. You've challenged us all to build properly. Build with Your Word in our hearts. Your Son is an example for our lives. Sharing the truths that You've shared with us. We sing about a wonderful day that You've gotten planned. That You've got planned for us, a day in which Your Son comes back, in which He returns to the earth He once stood upon. And for us, Lord, we look forward to that wonderful day. We know that it's not going to be a wonderful day for everyone. For those that have to answer to Christ and their building doesn't stand, it won't be wonderful for them. So work in our hearts, work in our lives, and help us to build the way You've told us to build. Help us to be diligent workers for You and Your Son and for Your coming kingdom. In your son's name we pray. Amen.